Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. As you'll be perfectly aware if you follow the channel, since Russia's invasion of Ukraine started on the 24th of February, the West has applied a number of rounds of sanctions against Russia, and so its markets have been reducing significantly. And as a direct result of that, Russia has been looking to increase its level of trade with China and India. And as China is the second largest economy in the world, and it shares a land border with Russia, it's seen as being the biggest trading partner going forward. Now, what I want to go through in today's video is the currency that those trades are now starting to take place in. Because as you'll also be aware, President Putin has been looking to raise the profile of the Russian ruble. He's been looking to try to get the ruble to replace the dollar as the recognized benchmark currency for all trades internationally. But what's now coming to light, which is very surprising, is that a lot of the trades that are being done between Russia and China are being benchmarked in Chinese yuan. So in today's video, we'll talk through the concept of international trade and why there has to be a benchmark currency. We'll talk about the ruble and President Putin's efforts to try to raise its profile. We'll talk about the Chinese yuan, or renminbi as it's also referred to. We'll look at the difference between those two terms. We'll go through the historic and current levels of trade between Russia and China. And then we'll look at exactly what's been going on with regards to the currency. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of all of this are for Russia, China and the global economy. And this is normally the section when I'd ask for a thumbs up and to support the channel, but I'm not going to waste time doing that. So let's move on. So let's talk about why currency is important when you're doing international trade deals. If you're a company that only deals domestically, so if you're based in the USA and you want to buy something from another company that's also based in the USA, you agree a contract to supply a certain number of goods at a fixed price, and that price will be fixed in dollars. And that's fine for both you and the supplier because you're both dealing in dollars, so you know exactly how much you're going to have to pay and what that's going to cost you. But when you're dealing internationally, there is the added complication of exchange rates. So if you're a US company and you want to import something from Turkey, for example, so you're buying something from a Turkish supplier, if you agree that deal in Turkish lira, then you have to find an amount of Turkish lira to make that payment. And if the Turkish lira is moving in value, then obviously that could cost you more or less depending on how much the movement is by the time you have to make the payment. So it becomes a little bit more complicated than just paying for things in dollars. Now, obviously, the vast majority of companies are set up to make profit. So when you're buying something in, you need to know how much it's going to cost so that you can then work out how much you're going to sell those goods in your market to ensure that you get that profit. So if the price moves around because the currency value is moving, that could mean that all of your profit is wiped out. So that's the risk when you're buying things internationally. And the risk of currency exchange movements differs depending on what currency you're talking about. So the more established currencies that are being traded on a daily basis in large volumes tend to be more stable and less volatile, whereas countries that are smaller, that have smaller volumes, tend to be much more volatile. So the Turkish lira is actually a good example of a currency that has devalued significantly over the last 18 months or so. In 2021, the value of the lira reduced by 44%. So that means that if you agreed a fixed price contract in Turkish lira at the start of 2021, by the end of the year, the value of that contract would have changed by 44%, which is great if you're buying things from Turkey because they would have become 44% cheaper, but not so great if you're exporting to Turkey and they were paying you in lira because you would have received 44% less. So the movement in exchange rates can have a really big impact on the cost of any contract that you're agreeing. And as a company, you don't want to be taking that risk and find that your business has become unprofitable as a direct result of exchange rate movements. So as a result of all of these dynamics, a lot of contracts that are agreed internationally are agreed in internationally recognized currencies. And the two biggest globally are the US dollar and the euro. In 2021, almost 45% of all major international contracts were agreed in US dollars, and around 35% were agreed in euros. So 80% of all major international trade was agreed in those two currencies. And the reasons for this are that these currencies are seen as being stable and reliable, and you can use those currencies for future trades. So if you're a producer and you agree a contract in US dollars and you get paid in US dollars, you can hold those dollars in a US dollar account and then use them to make payments for your suppliers. So you can trade freely in those dollars. So you're not having to worry about future exchange rates when you're buying and selling more materials. Now, before we go on any further, I'd like to talk to you about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN, and share with you their latest exclusive deal. If you use the internet without any form of protection, you leave yourself exposed to tracking, hacking, and advertising. Using Atlas VPN protects you from all of these. Atlas VPN provides you with comprehensive security and is used by more than 6 million people worldwide. So it's great news that you can stop hacking and tracking and data breaches. But Atlas VPN can also save you money and offer you a whole new world of entertainment because it allows you to change your location, which gives you the opportunity to get better deals and to access content that may not be available in your region. Atlas VPN is available to use on unlimited devices for one subscription. And Atlas VPN is currently offering a 3-year deal where you can get protection for $1.70 per month, including a 30-day money-back guarantee. And this is the best deal that Atlas VPN has offered this year. To purchase this exclusive Joe Bloggs offer, please click in the description below. The fact that the US dollar is the internationally recognized currency for around 45% of all major global contracts obviously doesn't sit well in Russia. This chart shows the historic rates of Russian international trade contracts that have been agreed in Russian rubles. And the black line at the top represents Russian exports, and the blue line at the bottom represents Russian imports. So if we deal with the exports first, obviously the two biggest categories of exports for Russia are oil and natural gas. And Russia's single biggest export market was Europe, where it was selling around 2/3 of all of its oil and natural gas. And the benchmark currency for those contracts have been agreed either in euros or US dollars. And you can see that in 2021, the percentage of contracts agreed in Russian rubles was less than 28%. And if you look at the percentages right back to 2013, Russia has struggled to get the percentage above 30%. And if we now move on to imports, the situation is significantly worse than that. In 2021, the total number of contracts agreed in Russian rubles was 14.3%. And the percentage has actually been falling over the last couple of years. And the highest level that Russia has achieved at any time over the last 9 years is 15%. So despite the fact that Russia does not want to be dealing in US dollars or euros, the vast majority of its international trade is being done in those two benchmark currencies. Now, as I mentioned earlier, President Putin is definitely not happy about this situation. He wants to promote the Russian ruble. And back in March, he came out and made an announcement on Russian TV that all contracts going forward for natural gas in Europe with what he deemed to be unfriendly nations, so countries that had actually sanctioned Russia, would have to be paid for in Russian rubles. Now, a number of countries in Europe came out and stated that they were not prepared to do that, including Poland and Finland, and they immediately had their gas supplies switched off. So President Putin decided to play hardball. And a number of the bigger countries, including Germany and Italy, who absolutely needed those gas supplies to keep flowing because they were using that gas to produce electricity. And if they didn't get it, there was a risk of having blackouts in both of the countries on a wide-scale basis. They agreed to make those payments in rubles. And that's what's been happening over the course of the last 7 or 8 months. A lot of European countries have agreed to make these payments in rubles. The problem with paying in rubles is that nobody's dealing in rubles in any other contracts. So as we've just seen from the charts we've looked at, there is a very small amount of international trade being done in rubles. So therefore, a lot of German banks don't have large supplies of rubles to actually make those payments. So what's been happening in practice is that Germany and Italy have actually been making payments in euros, and then the Russian banks have been converting those euros into rubles in Russia and then paying Gazprom, the gas supplier, in rubles. So technically, their payments are being made in rubles, but actually Germany and Italy don't have any, so they're not actually handing any over. So it's really just been a technical exercise of ticking the box saying, yes, they're paying in rubles, when actually there's no rubles actually changing hands. They're all just moving between bank accounts in Russia. But the intention from President Putin is clear. He wants to establish the ruble as a major currency that's used by other countries around the world when they're buying and selling energy products. So he wants to put the Russian ruble onto a level playing field with the US dollar, which is referred to as the petrodollar. So a lot of contracts for petrochemical deals, so oil and diesel, are done in dollars. President Putin wants those contracts to be put into rubles going forward, because that would then increase the attractiveness of rubles and raise the profile and give people more confidence that the ruble is going to be more stable going forward. When we talk about Chinese currency, it's often referred to as the yuan or the renminbi. And I think there's a lot of confusion as to why there's two different names for the same currency. So let's see a quick video from our friends at Investopedia who can explain exactly what the difference is.
China's currency is no longer deemed undervalued, and its prominence in international trade is expected to grow for years to come. But one question still perplexes many. Is China's currency the yuan or the renminbi? China's currency is officially called the renminbi. The yuan is a unit of account, which means the currency is denominated in 1, 2, 5, 10, 20, 50, or 100 yuan. The paper money also comes in smaller denominations, jiao and fen. 1 yuan equals 10 jiao, which equals 100 fen. For a better idea, any expression of price in the United States is in dollars, not Federal Reserve notes. In China, any expression of price is in yuan, not renminbi.
So hopefully that gives you a better understanding of the situation, and we'll refer to the currency as the yuan going forward in this video. So as you'll no doubt be aware, China is the second largest economy in the world and has aspirations to actually become the biggest economy. Some forecasters are saying that it will overtake the USA by 2025, but obviously that depends on what happens over the next few years. And we're currently seeing a major slowdown in the Chinese economy, so we don't know whether that's definitely going to happen or not. But you would expect, because it's such a big economy, that the Chinese yuan would be used on a wide-scale basis. China is the single biggest exporter of goods excluding energy products out of any country in the world. So you would expect that a lot of international trade deals are agreed in yuan, but they're not. Currently, the yuan only makes up around 2.5% of all global trade deals. And the reason for that is that the yuan hasn't really been promoted heavily by China historically. China has been happy to agree contracts in US dollars or euros. But China is now looking to raise the profile of the yuan, and the negotiations between Russia and China on their current expansion of trade are really interesting, because we've got two countries, both of whom want to promote their currency. They both want to become internationally recognized so that everybody is happy to do their trade deals in Russian rubles or Chinese yuan. So the fascinating thing to look at right now is who's coming out on top in terms of negotiating these current contracts. This chart shows the volume of exports from Russia to China over the last 10 years. So you can see that between 2012 and 2014, the volume of exports was relatively steady at around $35 billion. The level of trade dropped below $30 billion in 2015 as a direct result of the international sanctions that were applied against Russia following its invasion of Crimea. However, the volume of Russian exports increased above $40 billion in 2017, rose to $55 billion in 2018 and 2019, dropped to $50 billion in 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic, and in 2021 achieved a record high of around $69 billion. And if we look at the breakdown of those exports from Russia to China, you can see that the vast majority relates directly to oil. Now, this chart shows the level of Chinese exports to Russia and is actually on the same scale. And the volumes are very similar to what we've just seen for the Russian exports to China. Back in 2012, the volume of Chinese exports to Russia was around $44 billion. It increased to just under $50 billion in 2013 and was up to $54 billion by 2014. The volume reduced to around $35 billion in 2015 after the sanctions were applied against Russia, but increased steadily through to 2020 when volumes were back up to around $50 billion. However, there was a significant rise in the volume of Chinese exports in 2021 when volumes hit $67 billion. And in terms of the makeup of those products, there's a wide variety of products that China exports to Russia, including machinery, electrical equipment, vehicles, plastics, footwear, toys, games, furniture, all of those type of items. Now, following a meeting in Beijing as part of the Winter Olympics that were held in China this year, it was announced that Russia and China had agreed a no-limits partnership and that they would be significantly increasing the level of trade between the two countries. And clearly, we've seen a huge increase in the amount of oil exports that Russia have been sending directly to China. And it's now been reported that bilateral trade between the two nations in the first 9 months of 2022 equated to $136 billion, which represents an increase of 32.5% versus the figures for 2021. And these increases are two-way, with Chinese exports to Russia increasing by 21.2% in September, which compares to overall export growth of 5.7% for China. And China's imports from Russia increased by 55.2% in September, which was partly driven by a 22% annual rise in oil imports. So trade is obviously increasing significantly between the two countries, but the big question is, what currency is this trade being denominated in? Now, as a direct result of the sanctions, Russia is no longer looking to agree international trade deals in dollars or euros because a lot of that currency is held by international banks and therefore Russia runs the risk of those assets being seized if they're outside of Russia. And what's really surprising is we're seeing a lot of the trade that's happening between China and Russia being agreed in Chinese yuan. Yuan ruble trading totaled 185 billion yuan in October, more than 80 times the level seen in February, prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The surge in these contracts has seen yuan's share of the Russian currency market jump to 45% from less than 1% at the start of 2022. And as a comparison, the demand for US dollars, which previously commanded more than 80% of trading volumes on the Russian market in January, dropped to around 40% in October. Prior to April 2022, Russia didn't even make the top 15 list of countries using yuan outside of mainland China. However, Russia is now the fourth largest user behind Hong Kong, Singapore, and the UK. However, on a global context, the dollar and euro are still the dominant currencies, representing more than 42% and 35% of flows, respectively, as of September. The Chinese yuan has risen to around 2.5% of global trade, compared with 2% for the previous 2 years. And one thing that's really interesting is that Russian businesses have now started issuing bonds denominated in Chinese yuan. Seven Russian corporates, including Rusal, Rosneft and Polyus, have raised a total of 42 billion yuan in bonds on the Russian market. And that list could grow further, with Russia's largest bank, Sberbank, and oil firm Gazpromnet saying that they're also considering yuan debt. Bank Governor Elvira Nabiullina is tracking the growth, and earlier this month stated that the influx of yuan illustrated a transformation of the currency composition of our economy. The regulators in Russia are not planning to limit the yuan usage yet, and may encourage banks to use more by relaxing provisioning requirements for the currency while tightening them for dollars and euros. The inflows of Chinese yuan have led to a broad fall in interest rates on yuan deposits within Russia, which range from between 0.01% and 2.45% for one-year yuan deposits. And this is one of the reasons why Russian companies are now issuing yuan bonds, because a lot of investors have built up large amounts, because a lot of companies and investors have built up large amounts of yuan, and using the currency to invest in these bonds is becoming very popular. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think it's really interesting to see what's happening with regards to the trade between Russia and China. It was obvious that the level of trade was going to increase because Russia has a limited amount of markets. It's no longer able to sell its oil and its natural gas directly into Europe. As of the 5th of December, there will be an outright ban on the purchase of all oil that's transported over the sea. And we've seen a huge reduction in the purchases of natural gas. And that will continue over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. So Russia needed to find new markets. And because of the geographic location of China, it shares a land border. And also the fact that China's the second biggest economy in the world, it's the obvious place to try to expand your trade. And also China is the biggest manufacturer in the world. So therefore, the amount of imports coming from China are also going to increase because Russia can no longer access all of the products that it was buying from the West. So it's obvious that that was going to happen. But the big question was, what currency is all of this trade going to take place in? And I think initially everybody would have assumed that those contracts would have been done in Russian rubles, because President Putin has been trying to promote the ruble. He's been forcing a lot of European countries to make their purchases of natural gas in rubles. And so this was his opportunity to really establish the ruble as an international currency on the same level as the US dollar. However, what we're seeing from the data is that that isn't happening. Russia is actually agreeing to do these deals in Chinese yuan. And I think that tells us really that it needs to do those transactions. It's desperate to make those trades. And so it's agreeing to terms that China is putting forward, because China does have the option of buying oil from elsewhere. It doesn't necessarily need to make those purchases from Russia. So the balance of power here is sitting with China. From Russia's perspective, it absolutely needs to increase the volume of oil exports to China. Otherwise, it's going to have major problems. We talked about this on the channel before. But you just can't switch off your oil production. So if you're producing 10 million barrels of oil per day, you need to find the market to sell that into. Otherwise, you're going to have to reduce your flow, and that will cause you major production problems in the future. So at the moment, Russia needs China more than China needs Russia. And that's being reflected in the terms of these contracts. And China is now using this as an opportunity to promote its own currency. And it'll be interesting to see what happens over the course of the next 3 to 6 to 12 months, whether or not China looks to try to expand this concept with other nations and move away from using the US dollar and the euro as the benchmark currency and try to raise the profile of its own currency. Now, in terms of what the impact of all of this is on the Russian economy, the Chinese economy, and the global economy, well, the increase in the level of trade is obviously good news for Russia, but the level of trade that it's doing with China is not offsetting the amount of trade that it's lost with the West. So on a net basis, Russia is seeing a contraction for its revenues, and the Russian economy is officially now in recession. We saw that for the figures that were released for the end of September. And it's likely over the next 3 to 6 months that the situation is going to get significantly worse in Russia, because Europe is switching off all of its oil purchases and the gas purchases are also reducing rapidly. So we'll continue to see reducing revenues. And as I mentioned before, it's very difficult for Russia to replace those natural gas revenues, because it doesn't have the infrastructure in place to convert that gas into liquefied natural gas, which it needs to do to be able to sell to India and the rest of Asia. It can pipe some of the gas to China, but it needs to also build new pipelines, because the existing pipelines are fully utilized. So in the short term, over the next 6 to 12 to 18 months, Russia will definitely see a fall in natural gas revenues and a fall in oil revenues. Whether or not it can get back to the same level it was selling historically really depends on how much it can sell to India and China. And as I've covered in many other videos, the problem that it has right now are logistical, because they don't have enough ships to be able to move all of that oil. And the oil price cap is due to be imposed on the 5th of December. And that's going to limit the price that Russia can sell at and will further reduce revenues. So overall, over the next 3 to 6 months, there's bad news coming for Russia. In terms of China, it's increasing the level of trade to Russia, which is good news from a revenue point of view. But unfortunately, because of the global slowdown, the Chinese economy is also slowing down right now. I recently posted a video where we looked at what's happening in the Chinese economy. It's bad news. The level of growth in China historically has been double digit, and that's what the country is geared up for. The forecast for this year is a 3.2% increase in GDP, which is significantly lower than China has seen at any point in the last 30 years. So this is a real problem for China, and comes at a time when it's experiencing major problems in the property sector, and also it's continuing with its zero tolerance COVID strategy. I recently posted a video on that. If you haven't seen it, please check it out. But we're now starting to see protests appearing all across China. The people are very unhappy with what's happening right now. So the outlook for China over the next 3 to 6 months is also negative. It's going to see a continued slowdown. It's going to see a reduction in revenues, and it's got some political problems at home. In terms of the impact on the overall economy, well, the biggest factor that we've seen over the last 8 months in terms of Russia's invasion of Ukraine was the increase in oil prices and food prices and other commodities. That caused inflation to spike all across the world, and we're still suffering from really high rates of inflation. Those inflation rates have caused interest rates to be increased in a number of countries. That's causing pain for people with debt. It's causing problems for companies that have debt. And we're starting to see this global slowdown. And it's very likely that over the next 3 to 6 months, we will see recession spreading. It's already been announced in Russia. It's about to be announced in the UK. And it's likely that we will see a myriad of other countries over the course of the next 6 months announcing that they're officially in recession. How long that recession lasts really depends on what's going on in Ukraine. The war is still happening. It's still having a negative impact on the globe. And as long as that goes on, it's going to cast a shadow over the global economy. So unfortunately, I think the global recession that's coming in 2023 could be quite a long one. It could last for 6, 9, possibly even 12 months. But before I finish off today, I want to go back to the main message for this video, which is about currency. And what we're seeing right now is a yuanization of Russian trade. So Russia was hoping that it was going to be able to build the strength of the Russian ruble over the course of the next 6 to 12 months. But actually what we're seeing is that it's helping build the strength of the Chinese currency rather than the Russian currency. And I don't think any of us expected that to happen. But as I said, it's because the balance of power right now is sitting with China. They can decide to buy elsewhere. Russia has a limited amount of options in terms of where it can sell. So unfortunately, it's having to agree to those deals. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I said, then please give me that thumbs up. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And thank you very much for watching this whole video all the way through to the end. Really appreciate it.